presence, knowing that we are called your sons and your daughters. Heavenly Father, we can come in your presence, knowing that we can present to you our troubles, we can present to you our questions, present to you our doubts, knowing that you are a loving Father to each and every one of us. So Heavenly Father, as we're coming into your presence this morning, with whatever doubts, fears, troubles that we have, we're coming with them knowing that you are our Father and you love us so much. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that we find freedom in your presence. We find freedom knowing that you sent your Son Jesus to die for each and every one of us, and that each and every one of us can walk in this freedom. So this morning, Heavenly Father, may we experience that freedom. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that this morning may we also experience that love that a father offers to their son or their daughter. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that we experience your love, we experience your freedom this morning. Because who you have set free is free, and we're free in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand. I'll read from Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. And the word of our Lord says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Let's take our seats. Let's give it up for the worship band. Yeah. Cool. My name is Zach, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Flood Church. We're going through a sermon series called Wisdom for Life. And today I'll be talking about move but trust in God's direction. Move but trust in God's direction. If there's something that I'm really passionate about, is going through things in a particular order. I love to plan my day really well. I sleep at 10. I wake up at 5 because I know that I want to go jog. If I don't wake up at 5, then I'm not going to go jog. If I wake up, let's say, at 5:20, I'm not going to go jogging. Because in my mind, I feel like there's about 4 kilometers that has already passed. So I need to wake up in the right time so that I can go jog in a certain time. So I want things to flow in a certain type of order. When things don't go that way, it's really hard for me to actually do certain things. So I want things to flow in a certain type of order. With that said, we had a really, really different voting system in the morning. With that said, how many people love order and planning by the hour? Raise of hands. Thank you. And then how many people just love to do everything freestyle? No judgment. Cool. There are different people, and how we approach certain things is different. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some just work better with things planned out really well. Some just love everything to flow freely. As I said, I love to plan. And if anything, I think it was God was just trying to play a practical joke on me this week, because none of my plans this week went as I planned. So Monday was okay. Tuesday started to go downhill a little bit. Wednesday was probably the top of it all, when everything started to go downhill. So I'd planned my Wednesday really well. I planned that I'm going to meet a few people, have lunch and stuff like that with my friends. So I picked up my friend, and then we went to immigration offices, had a meeting there, and we're done. I came to Gateway Waymore, had another meeting, and then I met up with Harry. We went on the other side of town because we're going to meet Timmy. So we went and met with Timmy. We're chilling. Everything is going really well. And then Harry had a package that he needed to deliver at one of the courier services by City Mall. So I pick up my wife. We drop off Timmy, and then we're going to drop off this parcel that Harry had, and then we'll be heading back home. So we drop off Timmy, and then we're in Area 3 trying to go to Crossroads. And then Harry's like, you know, the car is a little too quiet. Put some music. So right now, I am driving, and I reach down to pick up my phone to hand it to Harry so that he can put some music. And in those few seconds of just reaching down and giving Harry the phone, I see a pothole this big, and I'm not even exaggerating. So there was a pothole this big. And my reaction process to even trying to dodge that pothole was zero. So I was like, I'm just gonna go through it. And that's what I did. I went through it. So I heard one tire go pop, and then the second one pop. And then I parked on the side. And right there, I knew it in my head that I popped a tire. So Harry and my wife are a bit hopeful. They're like, maybe it's not that serious. So my wife is sitting in the back, Harry's sitting in the front with me. So my wife opens the door, looks back. She says, yeah, that's gone. And then Harry opens the door, looks to the front, and tells me, yeah, that's gone too. So I popped two tires. So my tires are this thin, so the chances of them surviving were slim. And in this moment, it just dawned on me what this passage says. We plan, but the direction that our day is going to take is not up to it. I can plan that I'll meet everyone, and then I'll go drop off Harry in Area 25 and come back home and have dinner and everything. Something that started at 6, we ended up fixing that tire at 9. I planned, but the direction that my day went was not up to me. And most of us, we get to a place where life throws us all sorts of things. We make plans, and it's not an excuse not to plan, because we can come up with an excuse to say, if my plans are not going to go as perfect, then I might as well not plan and just wait on God to give me whatever is going to happen. No, actually, the Bible encourages us to plan. We're supposed to plan. But most of the times, it's easier for us to accept a change in our schedule. But it's harder for us to accept a change that is life-shifting. Because I can change my schedule. Someone can call me and say, can we meet at 1:30 instead of 12? And I'll be okay with that. But when it's your whole life shifting, it's harder for us to accept that. Because one thing that I heard was, salvation is free, but discipleship comes at a cost. And that cost that comes with discipleship is surrender. We have to surrender our plans. We have to surrender our goals. We have to surrender just everything that we imagined our life is going to be. Because for us, just being disciples, we are not only moving the way we want to, but we're moving the way God wants to. Imagine how when Jesus was picking up his disciples, these guys went from fishing to actually walking with Jesus. They were moving, yes, but in a different direction. Because if they were moving in their own will, they would have been moving from one sea to another or one ocean to the other. But Jesus was taking them from one city to another, saving people. Salvation is free, but discipleship comes with a cost. And that cost is for you and I to surrender. So today I want us to look at two observations that we see from this passage that will help us in navigating our movements in this life. The first observation that I want us to look at is, our planning is limited. Our planning is limited. Our plans are limited by our finite minds and our foresight. Because everything that I know in this world is limited by the things that I've experienced, the things that I've seen, or the things that I've heard. And my planning, my goal setting, my wishing, and my dreaming will be limited to just that. I have only seen America on TV or on social media. I've never been to the U.S. before. So everything that my mind says about the U.S. is the things that I've seen on social media, on television, or I've heard from people that have been there. So my planning or my judgment of the U.S. will be based on that. It's the same thing with us. In our planning, we plan certain things based on the things that we've gone through, the life experiences that we've had, the hurt that we've experienced. So in our planning, in our moving, we're planning based on all these things, but God is calling us to trust Him with even more. Because maybe in our praying, we're praying limited prayers because we start to think to ourselves, is God actually going to answer that? We start to limit ourselves because we start to think, maybe this is too much of an ask to God. But what if our prayers, our planning, are actually limited by finite minds? Because our minds can only see so far. Our minds can only take us so far. But what if God is calling you to trust Him with even more? And to say, give me all your plans. Because most of the times we come to a place where we make so many plans and just want God to bless our plans. I want to go to this school, so I start applying for this school, and then I'll just ask God when certain things start to go south. I'll pray to God to put a hand of blessing over the school that I want to go to. Or you start to apply for a job, and then when interviews are close by, and then that's when you remember God, say, God, please come through. I've got an interview on Monday, so please help me. But God is calling us to say, even before you make this decision, I want to be part of it. Because your moving is limited by the things that you know, the things that you've experienced. I want to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or even imagine. But maybe we are limited by just our experiences. Because yes, we're supposed to do our part. But yes, we're also supposed to invite God into everything that we're doing, into every plan that we have. As we're remembering that our plans are limited, we should also remember how limitless God's sovereignty is. And that's a second observation that I want us to look at. That God's direction is sovereign. God's direction is sovereign. God's sovereignty is not limited by our limitations. God's sovereignty is not limited by our limitations. Because most of the times, as I said, there are certain things that we end up not doing or we end up not praying because in our minds, we are stuck because certain things that we have experienced or certain things that we know have limited our thinking. I remember growing up in my family, when you needed certain things, you had to, like, there was your side of the bargain and my dad's side of the bargain. So I remember when we were young, when the mountain bikes started coming in, I remember my brother and I approached my dad. We said, Dad, we want a mountain bike. He's like, yeah, no problem. You can get it. And then we're like, okay, cool. So he's like, so what are you going to give me? Like, huh? He's like, yeah, what are you going to give me? So like, yeah, name it. So he says, cool, you're going to get a mountain bike if you are anywhere between position 1 and 3 in class. Bet. Everyone's like, yeah, cool. The term goes by, results come in, I am number 5. So now my brother is number 1. My brother gets a mountain bike and I don't. So now my brother hands me down his beaten up BMX that I had to ride for this whole term, until I get to the position that I wanted to get this mountain bike. And because most of us grew up or we've got certain kind of experiences like this from a father figure or from our parents or guardians, we start to limit God thinking that I have to do a little something so that God can actually give me this. So now you're getting to a position where you want to pray, but your prayers are limited because you start to think, I need to do my side of the bargain. But my question is to each and every one of us, what if we prayed prayers that are not limited by our thoughts? And what if in our praying of those prayers, God really answered our prayers? Because some of us are in a space where we're saying, there's no one in my family that has graduated from college. So I'll just finish from four and then I'll find something to do. There's never been a single person in my family that's gotten married before. So I know this guy or this girl is just going to tell me sweet lies and then just go away. There's never been someone from such and such who hasn't done this, so I'm not going to be the first one. Now we're limiting God or limiting our prayers because of our past fears, because of our past hurts, or because of our past experiences. But what if you trusted God with all your heart? And what would happen if God answered your prayers? Sometimes our plans are stuck because we see our limitations in our finances, in our physical abilities, or even just where we're coming from. But God is calling us to say, trust me to direct you to where you want to go. Trust me to direct you to where you want to move. Because most of the times, all these things, yes, they do happen to each and every one of us. And in the back of our mind, they'll still speak a little something. And those things can actually hinder us from moving. We make our plans, we set our goals, but the Lord directs our steps. I remember growing up, Proverbs 19:21 was a verse that we used to use to joke around. Many other plans in man's heart, but the Lord has a final say. So if things didn't go well, we'll joke around with my friends. Yeah, many other plans in man's heart, but the Lord has a final say. It's easy to joke around with something like that. But when you are in the middle of certain plans that you had and they don't go as you wished, it's harder to even accept that. It's harder to even accept that. Because his sovereignty has the final say over each and every one of us' lives. But sometimes we start to ask the question, so if you're saying that if I'm trusting and I'm walking in God's sovereignty, then everything is going to flow perfectly? Far from it. Far from it. Story of Joseph. Joseph followed the direction that God put before him. He's walking in the path that God laid before him. He ends up being imprisoned. He ends up having so many accusations. But he is following the will of God. Apostle Paul goes out to start preaching the gospel. He preaches the gospel, ends up being imprisoned. He has a shipwreck. So many things happening to him. He's still walking in the way God called him to walk. The story of Job. Job had everything, and he lost everything just by the snap of a finger. He lost his family. He lost all his possessions, and he had sickness to add on to that. But he was walking in the direction that God had planned for him. Because sometimes we start to think, maybe if I'm walking in the will of God, if I'm walking in the direction God has set for me, then everything will flow with ease. Jesus Christ, a perfect example. In all his perfection, he came into this world and ended up dying on the cross, where all the thieves and robbers and everyone who did all sorts of things would end up. But he walked in the direction that God had provided for him. So sometimes you start to think, so maybe if I am walking in the direction God has called for me, then everything is going to flow perfectly. Far from it. Far from it. But the good thing is, as we are walking in the direction that he has called us to go, when we face unexpected twists and turns, we can still trust that God is directing our paths. Because most of the times as humans, we start to think the absence of troubles, the absence of hurt, the absence of just any bad thing is the presence of God. And now we start to think that if things are not going really well, then God is not here. Because when I hit that pothole and I was starting to calculate that it's two tires that I need to fix. If you don't know the dates, today is the 23rd, yes? So I was doing the maths and my money was not moneying enough. And Harry was like, so what's going to happen? I just started laughing. I was laughing through my pain. Because I was like, something needs to happen. This car needs to move. But I don't know where this money is going to come from. Because even in the back of your head, if you still have people in your mind, oh, okay, I'll call this person and then I'll ask them for money. I'll give them when I get paid. There's no guarantee that they're going to give you that money. And at this point, I didn't know if it was just the tires or the rims that have been broken. But in this time, I was just like, God, whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. So even in that moment, I didn't have a solution. I didn't know where the money for the tires was going to come from. I didn't know if the money would be found. But even in the middle of that, I still trusted. Even though my trust was not that big enough, as little as it was, I still trusted. So maybe it's you. You maybe went to an interview and a job sent you an email to say, sorry, we regret to inform you. And in the middle of that, you start to think, is God really in this? It's like, God, I have followed everything by the T. Maybe some of you know a family member that has gotten a letter to say your sickness or that disease is actually getting worse. And you start to think to yourself, God, are you really in this? And that person that you stood up in front to say that we'll stay in this until the end of time has asked you for a divorce. And you start to ask yourself, God, are you still around in all this? Because most of the times we think the absence of troubles, the absence of hurt, the absence of just any difficulties that life has to throw at us is the presence of God being there. But God can actually be there even when you get those messages that you don't want. God is actually in there when you face so many potholes in your life. In fact, you're going to face so many potholes in your life. But there's no better place to be at than having God right by your side when you face these potholes. Let's always remember that God's direction is not a guarantee of ease, but it's a promise of his presence and guidance through life's challenges. God's direction is not a guarantee of ease, but a promise of his presence and guidance through life's challenges. I want us to look at three questions before we finish. The first question that I want us to look at is, what areas in your life are you trying to control, and how can you surrender them to God's direction? What areas in your life are you trying to control, and how can you surrender them to God's direction? Because as human beings, every time we are faced with some twists and turns or misdirections, we want to take full control. We want to see how certain things will actually turn out. But in the times when life is not moving the same way we wished or we would have imagined, how are we trusting God and how are we surrendering to Him? So what areas in your life are you trying to control? And how can you surrender those things to God's direction today? The second question that I want us to look at is, how can you balance planning and strategizing with trusting God's sovereignty and guidance in your life? How can you balance planning and strategizing with trusting God's sovereignty and guidance in your life? Because many of us have plans. In fact, if you have vision boards or whatever, set plans. Set big, big plans. Set plans that are beyond your finances. Set plans that are even beyond just any of your plans that you imagined in your life. Set those plans. Strategize really well. But in all that, how are you seeing God's guidance and sovereignty in all that? That even when you get a yes or a no or a wait, that even in the middle of that, you can still see God's sovereignty. So how are you trusting God's sovereignty in your planning and your strategizing? And the last question that I want us to look at is, what unexpected twist or turn in your life can you trust God with, knowing that His presence and guidance are with you? What unexpected twist or turn in your life can you trust God with, knowing that His presence and guidance are with you? Because life has no favorites. Today, it is me facing the pothole. Tomorrow is going to be you. Whatever pothole that life is going to bring at you. Each and every one of us is going to have twists and turns. But it's easier for us to see God when the things are going really perfectly. It's easier to see God when the answer is a yes. But it's harder to see God in the no. It's harder to see God in the maybe. It's harder to see God in the times of lack. So whatever twists and turns that you're facing today, how are you seeing God's sovereignty, and how are you seeing His guidance and presence in all of that? Because one thing is for certain, we're all going to face twists and turns. But it's better for you and I to face those twists and turns in the change of plans when we have God walking with us each and every step of the way. So I don't know where in the three questions you are and how God is challenging you this morning. But as He speaks to your heart, as He speaks to your life, I pray that you have it in your heart of hearts to actually submit to Him. Because salvation is free, but discipleship comes with a cost. And that cost for each and every one of us is to fully surrender. To know that, yes, God, I have plans. Yes, I have set goals and dreams for my life. But I want to fully surrender to your sovereignty, knowing that you know far much better than I know. You know far much better than my mind can actually fathom. So I trust you, knowing that you have everything in the palm of your hands. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just each and every person that is here. Thank you for just your word. Thank you for, we know your sovereignty is something that we can rely on, oh God. Knowing that you have the whole world in your hands, oh God. So I pray, Heavenly Father, for my brothers and sisters in whatever plans that they have in their life. As they're making plans, setting goals, and strategizing, I pray, Heavenly Father, that may you move in all that. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you go before them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you also give them a heart to actually accept things that they can't change. That even in the no's, Heavenly Father, they will see you. Even in the times that you tell them to wait, they will actually see you. Even in the times that you tell them maybe, they'll wait on you knowing that you are a God who is faithful to his promises. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that in all the people that are having any questions, doubts, or even are finding it hard to see you when things are going south, I pray, Heavenly Father, that may you assure them in their hearts that you are right there with them every step of the way. Heavenly Father, you stand with us in the fire. Heavenly Father, you also stand with us when everything is going perfectly. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that even in the moments where things are not going well, help us to trust in you. Heavenly Father, as we face so many hurdles or potholes that this life has to bring to us, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to trust in you. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's anyone this morning that is having questions and doubts, may they find answers in you. But also in a special way, I'd like to invite anyone who has not given their life to Jesus and have just been moving in this life the way that they see fit. If that is you this morning, Jesus is waiting for you with his arms wide open. So that in your moving, you shouldn't just move anyhow without a plan. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. So if that is you this morning, I'd like you to pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come in your presence. I submit my life to you. I surrender my life to you. May I move according to your plans. May I move according to your purpose. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray.